Today we are continuing our series on Parakletos, Holy Spirit. And I don't know whether you know him. I don't know whether you walk with him. But Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. If you don't know him, you do not know the life. Okay. I just want to state it very definitively and clearly, because Romans chapter 8 clearly states that if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to him. And we spent last five sessions on this topic, which I think it is, more time I spend with this topic, it is the most important topic there is in the Bible, because without him, I don't think you will have even desire to love God. In fact, you can't, let alone obey him. But Holy Spirit, Parakletos, who is God and a person, he's the one who gives life to your soul. And how does he do that? We talked about it last week. He convicts the world. He convicts of your sin and righteousness and judgment, and specifically about your sin. Have you ever experienced it? I know I mentioned this last week, but there is a difference between knowing vinegar is sour. I'm quoting Robert McChaney, someone who died 150 years ago. There's a difference between you knowing that vinegar is sour and actually tasting the vinegar and it is sour. There's a great difference. There's a great difference between knowing that fire will burn your hand. You know that. We all know that. But actually burn your hand and feeling the pain. There's a great difference. On the same token, knowing that you are sinful and experience the conviction of sin is completely different thing. Completely different thing. What is the conviction of sin, if you would just listen carefully? McChaney says, it's a just sense of the dreadfulness of your sin. Dreadfulness. Heaviness. Awesomeness and fearfulness that you know you're drowning. You are drowning. You are in sin, and that's no small matter. No small matter. You're drowning and you feel helpless. Completely hopeless. Dreadfulness of sin. So that the Spirit will summon you to call to turn and repentance. That's true repentance. Not vinegar, no, vinegar is sour, knowing that. Not, you know, if you burn your hand and it's going to hurt. That's not going to do the job. But the work of Holy Spirit is bring you to conviction. Conviction. Okay? And today, how else does he bring life to you? Very simply put, through the scripture. Through the scripture. Believe it or not, we are dealing with the fifth and last passage of Parakletos in John's gospel, his farewell discourse. Now, think with me. This is his last teaching, last night, and toward the end of his preaching. Okay? To his disciples and his loved ones. He must be speaking about the most important topic. And what is he talking about? He talks about New Testament, Scripture. And Holy Spirit is the author of the Scripture. And Holy Spirit convicts, leads, guides, teaches, and help you remember the Scripture which centers on Christ so that you will turn to Christ. That's Christianity. I come to this kind of understanding. Holy Spirit, Parakletos, and the Scripture, they're like partners. They never work separately. I'm so convinced right now. This is a theological statement. They are like partners. They're one. Okay? So we come to the end of this final discourse in John chapter 16. And tomorrow he's heading toward to the cross. And only the summary is left. And Jesus introduces a totally unexpected topic, in a sense, the best at the end. And what is that topic? He already taught them about heaven. Okay, I don't know whether you believe in heaven. Holy Spirit convicts of your sin and righteousness and judgment. It'll make him make it a reality. And how you could get there. Right? Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father. He already had taught the disciples about what the purpose of life is. Those who believe in me will do what I have been doing. Do you know what your life is about? Holy Spirit convicts you. Make it to reality. Why do I need to graduate? Today we celebrate graduation. What is my life about? We're going to see it in the scripture. Live for the glory of God. Isn't it kind of interesting? The topic for today is, He will glorify me. He refers to Paracletos, Holy Spirit. Me referred to Jesus. It's the spirit of Paracletos that glorifies Christ. And we want to live that. So my guess is, if you walk with the Holy Spirit, you will live to glorify Christ. If you don't, probably you live on your own. That's basically how it boils down to. He already talked about prayer. We talked about prayer. And not just pray more, come to the prayer meetings, but Jesus said, ask whatever in my name and I will do it. That's no small promise, people. Do you pray? If you don't, you're missing out. You're missing out. Ask whatever in my name, and I will do it. And that's the privilege that God has given to his children. And if you don't, you're definitely missing out. He also talked about this great topic, promise of Holy Spirit, another helper, or Paracletos is coming. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is the original Paracletos, and the Holy Spirit is another Paracletos. And Paracletos, Holy Spirit, testifies and glorifies Jesus. Now, after speaking about these big topics, what could be better than that? What could be more than that? You know what it is? Today's text, believe it or not, speaks about New Testament, a new covenant, new chapter in human history. Literally, people. Because God is the author of history and his sovereign. And now Jesus is promising, as he goes back to the Father, Holy Spirit will come and he will guide the apostles into all the truth so that the New Testament will be written. In other words, through the New Testament, he brings life to the lost sinners. Okay, so that's kind of like the introduction for today. And again, today's text is the fifth and last Paracletos passage of this series, and I'm really perplexed. I want to go on with this topic. Does anybody want to go on with this topic a little further? Can you say amen? Amen. Well, maybe I shouldn't. No. You know, people, without Holy Spirit, without Paracletos, there's no life in you. There's no life in you. Period. Okay? So, today we're dealing with the last topic. And again, this is the last chapter of his last sermon. And toward the end of his sermon, only the summary left. And with that said, we go on to today's text. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You know, people, the disciples were so overwhelmed with sadness, confusion, and they were only thinking about themselves. That sounds like us. He didn't really care about Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "No, you know, I'm going back to the Father. No one dared to bother to ask me where you're going." Isn't it kind of interesting? Disciples had trouble understanding what Jesus was teaching when he was there. They really did not see the magnitude of what Jesus is about to take on, his death, resurrection, ascension, until he's glorified and Holy Spirit is sent. And unless Holy Spirit helps these disciples, they will not understand any. So, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13 is the key text. But when the Spirit of truth comes, that's Holy Spirit, Parakletos, He will guide you, the disciples, and it applies to all of us too, into all the truth. That's a very, very important statement. Can I just say this first? If you are not led by the Spirit of the truth, which leads to truth, what spirit are you being led by? You know, I really want you to think about this. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it speaks about we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God. There's only two spirits. One is the spirit of truth, which leads to truth, and one is spirit of the world and make you believe the lies. Does that make sense at all? This is no small matter. I don't think this is a small thing at all. You may be thinking that you're believing the truth. Let me give you an example. If I make a lot of money in this world, is that a good thing or bad thing? Bad thing? Good thing, right? Good thing. But the scripture says, Jesus said, whoever tried to gain his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will gain it, which is true. You're going to have to make up your mind. A lot of people operate on both, which is nonsense. It really doesn't work like that because they're extremely polarized. Whoever tried to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will gain it. How many of you do believe what Jesus said is the truth? Would you say amen? He is the truth, and Holy Spirit convicts you so that you will be able to operate on the truth. If not, you'll be believing the false and lies. Okay? Spirit of the truth will guide you into all the truth. And then he said, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Sounds like what Jesus did. Jesus never spoke on his own. He always spoke what Father has placed in his heart. Just as Jesus was the emissary of God, Holy Spirit is the emissary of Jesus. So you see, Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God, triune God, is in unity, operating on same truth. I think that's a very important thing to remember. And then he speaks. He will speak and he will declare to you the things are to come. Sounds like the future. Sounds like the prophetic messages. And then, Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will not take what is, he will take what is mine, Jesus' word, Jesus' action, Jesus' work, and declare it to you. Okay? And all that the Father has is mine. In other words, Father and I are one, basically he's saying. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And that's the text for today. So what are we talking about in this passage? We're talking about the gift and the promise of the New Testament. And to us who are living 2,000 years later, that is so obvious. And you don't think much of it. How many of you treasure scripture? Seriously. You know, people in first century, they didn't have the written down revelation of God. How many of you have more than 5 Bibles at home? I think I have about 30 of them. Do you use it? Seriously. We have access to this written new revelation of how it is, the Word of God, and we don't think much of it. Isn't that kind of interesting? But here, the last and fifth Parakletos passage and the great promise of Jesus, which I would argue is the best one, is about the Scripture and the New Testament. Holy Spirit always operates and saves and brings life through the Scripture, which makes me want to ask you, do you treasure Scripture? Do you have desire to know Scripture? Seriously, because I stand here today, and I explain this all the time, to represent God's Word. So what God wants to speak to you, I need to speak. Not to please, not so much to please your ears, but hopefully I please His ear. And in the process, you will turn to Him. That's what the preaching is about. That's what the ministry of Holy Spirit is about. Isn't it? So what does that mean? He will guide you into all the truth. Do you see the definite article there? I know it may seem tedious, but that's a very important the definite article. Jim Boyce, one of the leading reform pastor in 20th century, who recently passed away maybe 10, 20 years ago, not too long ago, he speaks about this topic like this. When he said into all the truth, that is into a definite body of material centering on Christ Himself. This we recognize is nothing other than the New Testament. So the promise is that the Paracletos would be the vehicle of a new revelation, new promise, new covenant, Word of God, Logos, to bring life to people. Very, very important. And it is through the apostles, 11 apostles, who are specifically commissioned to this ministry. Did you know that? Holy Spirit is the author. Now, when we say it is authored by Holy Spirit, centers on Christ, it has very, very important two implications. Okay? Let me explain this. Number one, what's the most important implication? It centers on Jesus, who is historic. Now, I want you to just pause for a second. Jesus is a historic figure. Jesus actually came into history. Jesus is God, and He came into history. And He did something. We know that He's a historic figure. Unlike all the other ideology, doctrines, or religions, they cannot claim that. But Jesus actually came into history. He's a historical figure. And the New Testament is standing upon history fact. And that's determinative. And no other religion could come even close to that. You know, His death is historic. You know, His resurrection is historic. Did you know that? Resurrection is historic. There's a name, there's a person by name, what's his name? Case for Christ? Huh? Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, graduate of Brown University Law School. So, pretty smart guy. And he was the leading editor, writer of Chicago Tribune. And about 1970s, about 50 years ago, his wife became a Christian and he got really, really ticked off. He felt like he lost his wife. So this bright lawyer decided to do extensive research, whatever it takes to just to prove that Jesus' story is phony. So he spends next 6 months researching and just going after the top scholars, archaeologists, psychologists, medical doctors, and all these things just so that he could prove that Jesus is not historic, but he's a phony guy. And you know what happened? He spent six months. In the book, in the movie, he come to a final conclusion. After researching all this stuff, archaeology and original text, and medical doctor, did Jesus really die? You know, it's in Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, in 1980-something. You could Google it, and it speaks about the death of Jesus Christ. Medical doctors prove it. So he come to a place where he has to make up his mind. After researching all these data, he come to a conclusion that I cannot conclude that he didn't exist. So he had to make a decision, which takes a step of faith to not to believe, or take a step of faith to believe. So at the end of the movie, at the end of the book, he prays, God, If you're real, help me to believe. I'm just explaining this to you, but Christianity is standing upon historical fact. I'm an historical person. I was born in 19... I'm not going to tell you. And I'm going to live up to... I don't know. And you too. You are a historic person. Jesus is a historic person. Jesus is God, and he came into history, and therefore is standing upon fact. And facts are determinative. You can't just ignore it. No mythology, no other religion, no other ideology could support that. No other religion could do that, but only Christianity. That means Christianity is standing upon completely on a different ground, and you must make up your mind. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 speaks about the same thing. Basically, long ago, in the Old Testament time, God has spoken through the prophets. Prophets spoken in Father's name, and that becomes the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord. But in the New Testament, he spoke through his Son. It centers on Jesus. It centers on Jesus. I want to just give you one more. D.A. Carson. D.A. Carson says Jesus is the nodal point of revelations, God's culminating self-disclosure, God's final self-expression, God's word, logos, the truth. All antecedent revelations has pointed toward him. That's pretty comprehensive, people. I think it is worthy repeating it. Entire New Testament, entire history, which is written by God, Jesus is the nodal point. Meaning he's the center. He's the center of it all. Okay? He is God's culminating self-disclosure. Jesus is God. He actually came into history. He actually died. He actually resurrected. And he is actually coming back. That was revealed in the New Testament. And not only that, he's the final self-expression. And he is God's word. And he is the truth, and he's the logos. Can I just ask you, do you know him? Do you desire to know him? If you don't, that's pretty dangerous, isn't it? That's pretty sad, isn't it? If he's the nodal point of what God is revealing to humanity, who is heading toward the destruction, and if you don't care to know him, that's pretty bad, right? My brothers and sisters, it centers around Christ, and New Testament has been given so that through the scripture and the ministry of Holy Spirit that you will come to know him. That's what Christianity is about. After announcing this writing of the New Testament, if you look at today's text, Jesus actually gave the nature of New Testament. I'm going to just give you sort of like the skeleton based upon what Jesus said. New Testament is made up of three elements. If you listen carefully, this is going to help you. Number one, historic element. What is that? Because Jesus is a historic person, story of Jesus is historic, facts, and therefore there is a historic elements to New Testament. Where do we find that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Book of Acts. Historical books. Okay? Secondly, it's the doctrinal books or doctrinal elements. So, yes, he came. So he died. So he was resurrected. What does that mean? What is the ramification? What has that got to do with me? And that explains in the epistles, starting with Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, okay? And all the prison epistles and pastoral epistles and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude. It explains this historical truth about Jesus. And then there is a third element, which is prophetic element. We look at it right there. He said he's going to tell you. Holy Spirit will tell you what is to come. Do you know that? Do you know something? There's nothing like Bible that speaks about the end so authoritatively, so clearly, repeatedly, and definitively. Did you know that? What are you doing with that? So we're going to look at these three things. Number one, there is that historical element to the New Testament. I already allude to this. And verse 13, it says, He will guide you into all the truth. And Jesus is the truth. It centers around Jesus, the truth, who is historic. Okay? So when he said, He will guide you into all the truth, that means Paracletos, Holy Spirit, will guide 11 disciples or the apostles into the truth of New Testament concerning Jesus so that they will remember and they will write it so it will be put together and compiled together and become the New Testament. This is a new chapter of God dealing with humanity. Okay? Through Jesus. What does it centers around? Obviously, it centers around his death and centers around his resurrection. And I want to give you some implications of this. Brothers and sisters, Christianity begins with God who came into this world. It's more than you, more than me. Christianity begins with God who came into this history, and that's Jesus. We sang it today. He was, and he is, and he is to come. Okay? Christianity begins with a historical data and revelation. And this sets it off from all mythology, philosophy, all the other religions which conceive of patterns of ideas, or do you do something so that you will save yourself, and dealing with that kind of ideas and thoughts and teachings. But there is no historical fact. But Christianity is on a completely different category because it stands on the fact. Historical fact. Christianity has ideas, teachings, and doctrines. Yes, that's true. But the ideas that are based on fact, that's different. Pontius Pilate was a historical person. Caesar Augustus was a historical person that we see. Without Caesar Augustus, Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem. Oh, that's a false statement. No matter what, I think he would be born in Bethlehem. But Caesar Augustus called the censors, and historically we could see that. During the reign of Caesar Augustus, there was a Roman Empire-wide census. And that's why Jesus went from Galilee to Bethlehem, so that he will be born in Bethlehem, just like it was predicted 1,000 years ago. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Pontius Pilate, Caesar Augustus, Jesus is a historical figure. His death is history. His resurrection is a history. There are all these theories, proofs. Okay? So it is based on historical action of God, which centers around Christ, primarily his cross and resurrection. And now, when you look at all these facts, what are the meanings? How do we know what the meanings are? Those are the epistles. That's why you need to understand what the epistles or doctrinal teaching teaches. Okay, verse 15, it says, All that the Father is mine, therefore I said that Paracletos will take what is mine, Jesus, and declare it to you. Now, I want to explain something, because you're going to see that word declare in verse 14, 13, 14, and 15. So I did some research, because that, I think, was very obviously highlighted. So the word declare, okay, elengelo, means proclamation or declaration. And this word is in Old Testament Septuagint. Septuagint is Old Testament translated into Greek. Okay? And you see these words, and the use of this word elengelo is a proclamation and declaration of a king and God. Not false king, not false gods. King and God in the Old Testament, elengelo, declared the truth. And Holy Spirit declared concerns about Jesus. Should we listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us? I think we should. If you don't, you do not treat him like a king. Okay? Where do we have this? We have it in the epistles, beginning with Romans, which unfolds the Christian doctrine and teaching in its fullest form. And we spent a whole year, a couple years ago, and many people enjoyed it, and some people didn't like it. I don't know where you stand, but it is the writing that explains about facts about Jesus. Why did he die? Why did he? Why was he resurrected? Why did he come? How do we know that? These things explains epistles explain about Jesus. Again, Christianity is based on historical facts that centers around Christ, and that's absolutely, absolutely important. Can I just give you some examples? For example, Jesus came into this world. Why? For God so loved the world. And the epistle says, God is love. So he's love. What did he do? He died for me. Historical fact. Why did he die for me? Because we're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27. We are all destined to die. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3. So we stand condemned in the final judgment of God. And we are swimming in sin. We are slave to sin. Romans teaching. So what do? His death free us and saved us. That's what is explained in the epistles. Let me give you one example. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him. God made Jesus sin, sent to the cross. Why? Who knew no sin? Jesus was holy God. Otherwise, his death doesn't mean anything. He cannot substitute. He cannot vicariously put to death for someone else. God made him sin to be sin, who knew no sin, so that, what's the result? That we might become the righteousness of God. You hear that. Okay, so epistles, very, very important to explain and support what Jesus has taught and what Jesus has done in history and in his life. Third category of New Testament is prophetic, and I think you would want to listen to this. What does that mean? We look at it in verse 13. Holy Spirit will tell you what is yet to come. Can I just ask you, does anybody know what's going to happen to your health a year later? Will you still be muscular next year? I mean, sorry. Yeah. Will you still be healthy next year? Will you still be here next year? Anybody have any confidence that absolutely going to be the case? Absolutely not. We don't even know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. We don't. But Scripture speaks about the end and the future definitively, repeatedly, authoritatively, conclusively. How does he do that? How does Holy Spirit do that? You know how he does it? You know, I thought about it. Because Holy Spirit is Spirit of God. Bible says, who knows the mind and deep things of the person other than the spirit of person himself? Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. Who writes history. Who is sovereign. And knowing his heart, inspired, he wrote the New Testament. Okay? That's Parakletos. That's Holy Spirit. Where do we find these prophetic elements in the Bible? Matthew 24 and 25. I gave an assignment to discipleship group. Matthew 25 is a prophetic element of New Testament. He's coming back. In light of that, you live. You also find that in Mark chapter 13. Romans chapter 11, Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians and 15, but mostly, particularly in the book of Revelation. Okay? I don't know whether you had a chance to read a book of Revelation, but it speaks about the future. It speaks about the end very, very definitively, clearly, and authoritatively. Should you listen to that? I think you should. Holy Spirit convicts you and leads you to listen to it. Would that make a difference? Of course it does. Whoever gains more in this world is the best. Is that the truth? Or whoever try to live his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will gain it. Is that the truth? Holy Spirit will tell, latter is the truth. If Jesus is coming is imminent soon, which one is the truth? Bible says it's imminent. Okay? Here are some of the prophetic things in the Bible that I thought about this week. Would you listen? To some of you, it is very new. To some of you, it's very, you're familiar with these. In the prophetic elements of the New Testament, these are the things that's included. In the future, there's going to be tribulations and persecutions and sign of end, end times. What is that? Wars, earthquakes, disasters, pandemic, I don't know, you know? But definitely Bible speaks about that. And people will give up their faith and just follow the world. Apostasy, false teachers, false prophets. People listen to what they want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear. Big churches try to figure out why. I don't mean to say all the big churches are like that. But these are the things that has been prophetically stated about the future in the Bible. In the New Testament also, it speaks about imminent coming of Son of God. He's coming back soon. Bible says he's coming back soon. If you are walking with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, you don't live like a fool as if you're going to live in this world 100 years. You don't. You will live ready. Okay, Bible speaks about that. With his tens of thousands of angels with a loud trumpet call. And then New Testament prophetic element speaks about the dead in Christ will rise. Imagine the magnitude. How many people is dead? All in history who have gone before us in Christ will rise. We're talking about resurrection of life. And then there's going to be a rapture. Bible speaks about that. This is not cartoon, people. Rapture. In the air. These Christians who have gone before us, who are sleeping in the Lord, they'll rise and they will meet the Lord in the air. Bible speaks about that. Your mom. My dad, I believe. I really do. You're dead. I do believe that. An elder who has passed away a couple years ago, they'll rise before us and they'll be raptured. Be with the Lord. That's what the scripture speaks about, people. Either you believe this or you throw it away. Right? And the final white throne judgment, that's for all of us. I talked about this last week. There are two judgments. Holy Spirit will convict you. One is the judgment of the cross, and the other is the judgment that you're all going to have to stand. And what's going to happen at the final judgment? Jesus, the judge, will convict you or helenkai you from all your sin. Every single one of them. There's a book, it says, that has the record of everything you have said, everything you have done. Make no mistake about it, people. This is what the scripture teaches. And you will be helenkai and you'll be convicted. And then what happens after the conviction of sin? Judgment. Scripture speaks about that. But then, Holy Spirit convicts you of the other kind of judgment, which is the judgment of the cross. Where the ruler of this world was judged. Jesus was judged for sin. Whose sin? Your sin, if you truly repent and believe in him. Either you believe it or you don't. I don't think there's somewhere in between. I don't think that there could be anything somewhere in between. Speaks about white throne judgment, and it will be based on your life, how you lived. Did you live as a steward, or did you live as the king of your own life? That's what the scripture says. And there it speaks about book of life. If your name is written in the book of life, praise God. If your name is not written in the book of life, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire. It's written in the prophetic element of the New Testament where there is no error because Holy Spirit wrote it. There is inerrancy of the Bible, right? And of course, there is a great hope of the marriage of the Lamb. We are waiting for the wedding. There was a wedding yesterday, and I preached about this. Wedding is not the end. Wedding is just a pointer of true wedding that the scripture speaks about between the groom, Jesus coming back, and the church, the bride. The Bible speaks about that. And then New Testament also speaks about eternal state. Do you know there's going to be an eternal state? Eternal blessing, heaven. Eternal damnation, hell. Bible speaks about that. Bible clearly speaks about that, people. Therefore, Bible tells us, Holy Spirit speaking to all of us, be ready. Just like 10 virgin story. Be ready. Live as a steward. God has entrusted with your children. God has entrusted with your talent, law degree, medical degree. God has entrusted to you. Use it for Him. Live for Him. I personally think living for the glory of God is the greatest privilege. Does anybody agree with me? I really do, actually. Living for the glory of God and Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. I hope you're getting the message. Okay, and Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat story, live and care for the lost, hungry, poor, and broken. Do you care for them? Do you use everything on yourself? And you still feel like you lack. Okay, this is the prophetic element. What's the significance? Holy Spirit wrote the scripture, wrote about the end, and He's at work right now. I hope you're listening. He wrote for us, for His people, so that we may know where this history is going toward to, and He is leading toward it. How does He do that? He ministers, He convicts, He leads, He teaches, so that you will truly turn and love Christ and obey Christ. Holy Spirit is Christocentric. Sin, because you do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I'm going back to the Father. And the judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged on the cross. It's all Christ, people. I just want to close on this wonderful day as we celebrate graduation of our precious members. A final thought is, Parakletos is someone who glorifies Christ. That's glorifying God as well, because everything that Jesus has spoken is of the Father. So triune God is in unity. But Holy Spirit is the one who glorifies Christ. And we want to live a life of glorifying God, don't we? Without the Holy Spirit, which leads our life to Christ, we will never obey Him. We will never love Him. Okay? And that's what the New Testament is about. That's what Christianity is about. That's what history is about. Holy Spirit has written authoritatively this New Testament so that you will know about Christ, so that we can live to Christ. My final saying is the same thing that I say every week. For those of you who already been walking with the Holy Spirit, who love Christ, may you fall deeply in love with Him. Is that happening to some of you? Could you say amen? It's happening to me, honestly. Happening to me. Every morning I wake up, and I know I shared this last week too. Every morning I wake up and I pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill me with love of Christ? Would you look at me, people? Do you pray that prayer? Do you fill me with the love of Christ so that I could love, I could live for Him? Secondly, for those of you who do not know Holy Spirit and Christ, I pray that you will ask. And He's drawing you. He's drawing you right now. He's speaking to you. Remember in Acts chapter 16, it was the Holy Spirit who opened the ears of Lydia. That's why he paid attention to what Paul was speaking. Without work of God Himself, you don't care to listen. Come on, let's get over it. Let's get to the party now. Without the work of Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, and I pray that He does, that you will truly want to turn to Him and live for Him. Because it's all about Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit testifies. Let's pray.